Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Here we are in Melbourne on Christmas Day. Merry Christmas. It's so special. Just spending an hour together for Christmas and spending time in the Word. Well, we've all heard the Christmas story many, many times. And so for me, I was like, well, if I'm bringing just a little message for Christmas Day, how can it feel different? And when I read the Word, I just love to put myself in the story and feel what everyone was feeling in that time. And so what I felt today to speak on is the seven yeses that changed history. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for sending your Son through the most random way that no one could ever write a story as epic as our Creator. We just thank you for the Christmas story. We thank you for Jesus, and we thank you for every person that played their part in the Christmas story. And we just pray, as I read from the Word today, as we unpack the Christmas story, Lord Jesus, that you speak to each one of us. Give us a new heart revelation of how you, Holy Spirit, are here with us, how you, Emmanuel, are God with us even now. We pray that you speak to us in this moment. Amen. Amen. So as I was going through the story, I began to realize how many dreams were around in the Christmas story. How many people have picked up on that? Do we have any dreamers in the house? I know that we have a few here at Pneuma South that love to dream, and God speaks to us through our dreams. And did we know that Joseph actually had four dreams that God spoke to him? But what I loved is seeing how there were two direct angel visitations that changed history as well. And there are so many encounters in the Bible where God met the one, an individual right where they were at. We know Mary's story well, of where Gabriel appeared to her. What would your response be if you were Mary? But I also love Joseph, and I feel like he's a bit of an underrated person in the story of the Christmas story. I just love Joseph. And I just want to read from Matthew 1. Verse 18 to 25, if you want to open with me. And I can see lots of Bibles on Christmas morning. That is so good to see. Matthew 1, 18 to 25, it said, "This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph." Now, if you're a guy in this room, I just want you to pretend to be Joseph for a moment. "But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit." Would you believe that? I don't know whether I would struggle to believe that. "Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful." Everyone say faithful. "To the law, and yet did not want to expose her to the public disgrace." That was a big deal in the Bible times. The whole Christmas story could have stopped on one word from Joseph in this moment. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David." Notice the identity statement. He's telling him who he is. "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." How many people know sometimes we just need a confirmation? "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." And I need you to hear this. "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So when Joseph woke up, he decided not to listen to the angel. Is that what it says? It says he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. How many people know as a guy that would have been really challenging? She's saying that she's pregnant from the Holy Spirit. Has anyone pulled that prank before? I don't know whether I would be believing her. Yeah, sure. Yep. So we know that he had to have a dream to confirm that, and the Lord spoke to him to tell him that it was true. But he chose to believe that to be true. He didn't have to. There could maybe not even be a baby there. And even Mary herself trusted that there was something that she had been birthed with that was getting ready to grow. And for all the women out there, you know, when you're pregnant, sometimes you can feel it within the first few weeks, but sometimes it takes months to actually know something really is there. That takes faith. And the last miracle in this final verse is, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Well, if you ask me, him saving himself and not touching his wife for that time in itself is a miracle. Can I get an amen? So Joseph, for me, you're allowed to laugh in church, right? Okay. Well, I thought that was kind of funny, but maybe it's just me. I love Joseph, how he, from that moment on, pledged himself to his wife, knowing that the baby inside her was not his. What's my part to play in this story? I'm not even attached to what's going on right now. And as men, like growing our boys inside me, Steve, as the dad, as the husband, still didn't play the same part that I was playing. And it can be quite hard for the dad to feel like he's part of the first 9 months, as we are so close to the child. He already felt distant. But now he finds out this baby isn't even his, but he is called as part of this story. And I just love that his reply, or his action, was he did as the angel commanded. So we hear Mary, her yes, her response was, let it be done. Let it be done, Lord. Even though she was fearful from the angel, her yes rang true. But what I also love in the Christmas story is hearing the shepherds. We watched the Star movie yesterday. It's my favorite Christmas movie. We sat with the boys and watched it, and just seeing the sheep and the shepherds and their faces when an angel appeared to them. Let's turn to Luke 2, verse 9. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby. Now, you've got to remember, the shepherds of the day were covered in the smell of sheep, so they wouldn't have been the most appealing of people. They were in a low socioeconomic group of people. They weren't necessarily a popular collection of people. But God chose the shepherds to be part of the Christmas story, to be part of history. So keeping watch over their flocks at night, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. I'm seeing a common thread here that angels seem pretty scary. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news. Everyone say good news. That will cause great joy for all people. We just need to put that line on our wall somewhere and just remember the good news and the great joy that Jesus is. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. The Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. What names! That holds so much weight just in and of itself. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Then suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared. Can you imagine what that would be like? A heavenly host, not just one angel, but a whole heavenly host of angels. The shepherd, Suddenly appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, read with me, "Let's go." Their response to the angels was, "Yes, let's go." They could have thought, "Whoa, what have we been eating? Did you see what I just saw? Are we thinking clearly? Did you see those angels? Are we going to believe what they just said and what they're telling us?" Can you imagine being on that field and seeing those angels? I don't know whether I would be like, "Sure, let's do what the angels said, guys." Their response was, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off. They didn't just take their time and just like chill and go when they felt like it. They hurried off and found Mary. They knew they were on assignment. They felt the call of God on them in that moment, that there was something they needed to do. And they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed and what the shepherds said to them. I'm just going to read that last line again. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. They were the social media of their time. They were the comms team of that moment, being asked and commissioned to spread the word. There wasn't a social media platform where they could just take a photo and send it around and tell the world. But they took it upon themselves to say yes to the assignment and spread the word. So we now know the Christmas story, the true Christmas story, because word spread around the globe. Their role was so pivotal. Their yes was so pivotal. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said. Now, you've got to understand, because of who they were, many may not have wanted to believe them. "Oh, the shepherds are coming. Everyone block their noses. The shepherds are coming. They stink. We don't want to be near them. We don't want to hear them." Hey, kids, do you want to be around anyone who stinks? I don't. I would not know if I wanted to believe the shepherds, but God felt that they needed to be a part of this story. They needed to be a part of changing history. Do you ever feel significant in what God is asking of you? Do you ever wonder, "Why me, Lord?" But what if they said no? Would we even know of the Christmas story today? What I love about the Christmas story is it unpacks so many encounters where people had a choice whether to say yes or no to change history. And we see the wise men who went to the king, the magi, knowledgeable. They were probably astrologists of their time that knew so much about the stars. And they had come from the east, which says they were not Jewish. Again, what does this say about our Lord? He's not part of a segregated group of people. He wants everyone to hear the good news. And we hear in Matthew 2 again about after they had seen Jesus, they had a dream that said, "Do not return to Herod." Now, what would have happened if they did what the king of the time had said and gone back as the king had asked? King Herod had asked them, "Come back and report when you find that king." And it says they had a dream that said, "Do not return to Herod." And they went the other way. They departed, it says. They returned. But they did not do what the king had asked them because God had met them in a dream to warn them. How many times has God given you direction in your life, given you a dream or given you a vision in your heart to either warn you or direct you or take you to something new or to return you? What's your response? The wise men saying yes to the dream changed the trajectory of this story. And then we see Joseph's four dreams. So we talked about his first one, but just to go through the dreams quickly, you can see it all in Matthew chapter 2. And I encourage you to go look at it. But he had three more dreams that God met him and said, "You need to flee to Egypt." And then another dream to return to Israel. And then his fourth and final dream of this story is to go to Galilee. He was directing him in his dreams. He was protecting baby Jesus and Mary in those times because the political climate of the day was not looking good for Jesus. And this is why I love Joseph as a father. He didn't think he was part of this story, but if it wasn't for Joseph, Jesus may have never made it through the night, may have never made it through the week. Joseph was called as the protector of this home, the protector of this family. So I want us for a moment just to reflect on our story. Has God given us a dream? Has God given us a vision? Has God planted something in us? Is he asking us to do something? Seven yeses changed the face of history. Is God asking you to speak to someone at school that maybe you don't want to speak to? Maybe they stink like the shepherds and you don't want to talk to them, but God says, "Go say hi to that person." Maybe at work, God's asking you to have lunch break with someone that no one really wants to talk to. All these small and tiny yeses that can change the trajectory of somebody's future, of your future, of our future. And I applaud all of those team. Most of you are in the room today that spent breakfast on Christmas morning here from 7 o'clock this morning, loving on people that don't have family. You said yes. You said yes to a call. What is God speaking to you for 2026? What is he asking you to do? Is he asking you to let go of something? Is he asking you to step into something scary? Is he asking you to say yes to something when you don't know what is on the other side? Or is he simply just asking you to take $50 out of your wallet and give it to the first person you see? You all have your own story. I can't tell you what God's telling each of you. But the Holy Spirit is speaking constantly to each and every one of us in the room, encouraging us to do something. Is it to start a life group, to invite people in your home, to have someone over for a coffee? Is it to join a team next year? To connect in with more of your church community? Is it to call your mum and say you're sorry? Are we listening? Are we stilling ourselves enough throughout our day to hear the voice? Or are we blocking it out in fear of what he might be asking us? And are we willing? We hear in every single one of these stories, Mary, let it be done. The shepherds say, let us go. The wise men departed in action. It took an action step for them to walk into their call. And for Joseph, in the four dreams, it says, he did as the angel commanded. He rose. The other passages say he went or he withdrew. Maybe he's asking you to withdraw. Maybe he's asking you to rise, to step in, to back off. I don't know your story, but I know God wrote yours. And so I encourage us, as we walk into a new season, are we stilling ourselves enough to listen to the voice of God? Are we spending time in the Word to hear, even like this beautiful Christmas story, to allow God to speak through it to us? Are we praying? Are we chatting to our Heavenly Father to ask Him what He might have for us in 2026? Let us stand. I just want us to reach out our hands in a posture of receiving. We have an opportunity right now to encounter the Holy Spirit. What if He's asking you to do something and you're not responding? Our God knows His assignments and He knows what He needs to get done. And if He's asking you to reach out to someone and you just won't do it, guess what? He's just going to ask somebody else. But what if you were written in this story and because you didn't say yes, He had to find someone else? Let us be a people here at Pneuma South that say yes to Jesus, no matter what the outcome. It doesn't say in my Bible that it's going to be easy, but it says we know the author. It says we know the story writer. And just like Mary and Joseph, we choose to have faith. So I want us all to take a moment right now to ask God, what is He saying to me? What did He ask me to do this week that maybe I forgot about? Or what can I do on Friday or this weekend that I've had prompting my spirit, niggling on my spirit for months now, and I just have been pushing it to the side? Holy Spirit, we invite You now. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. You are welcome here.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.